Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Number one on what's trending, the Royals will try to snap out of this little three-game losing streak tonight. It'll be Brady Singer on the bump, 7-10 first pitch against the reigning Cy Young winner and Shane Bieber for the Cleveland Indians. Vern's on deck show coming up at 6 o'clock tonight. And here in about 20 minutes, Vern's going to join us. Our Royals insider will get his thoughts on what's gone wrong here as of late. 5-5 in their last 10 games. Still in first place. They are now sharing that with the Chicago White Sox in the AL Central.
Still in first place in the Central. So yep. Come on, hold on strong.
Defense,
by the way,
though,
if you
man.
Want to go to the game tonight, the Royals are doing I think you've got maybe like a little over an hour left. They were doing a flash sale on their website. You can get a $5 ticket to watch Singer versus Bieber.
Yeah, it's all for Cinco de Mayo. They're also having like half-price appetizers in some of the select areas at the K for the first hour from 6 to 7 tonight.
Yeah, check it up on Royals.com. But absolutely, like if you were just thinking, I might go to a game, I'm waiting for the price to come down, $5. That's like the old Hy-Vee seats, man. I used to go to $5 Royals game all the time. That was my jam then.
I think
but
you can still get in, even when they're not doing flash sales, for like $10. It's still like
sure,
$10 or $11.
$5 is $5, man. It's hard to get in a sporting event for less than that.
No question.
Next up on What's Trending, Jacob DeGrom was scratched from his start yesterday, much to the chagrin of my fantasy baseball team that you care about, I'm sure. His MRI was relatively fine, they said. A little bit of soreness on his side. No trip to the IL right now. That would actually be, it's important for the Royals because right now, you know, like, right now, like Danny Duffy looked like the best pitcher in baseball if Jacob DeGrom's not going, at least on that end. But mostly,
true.
You just don't want to see baseball without DeGrom right now because of the way that guy's pitching. That would be a huge loss for a Met. If he misses any time more than one start gold, that'd be a huge loss for a team who just hired their hitting coach. They're struggling so much.
Yeah, no, they fired their hitting coaches because of the slump that they've been offensively, including Francisco Lindor, who I don't know if he got out of it yesterday, but he was 0-21 at the plate. Next up on What's Trending, Broncos left tackle Juwan James expected to maybe miss the entire 2021 season with a torn Achilles, but the story to go along with that is the fact he was working out away from the team facility and under the CBA. One of the risks there, if you are encouraging your players, which the NFLPA is, to not go to the facilities, they don't have the same injury guarantee that you do if you tore your Achilles while you're at the Broncos facility. So by rule and in the contract language, the Broncos do not have to pay him any of the $10 million. Now, they can still do an injury settlement. They could also do right by the player to make sure the locker room and all that. It's going to be interesting how it plays out. The issue for Juwan James, too, Cody, is that he is someone that didn't play last year either, and that was his own choice. It's fine. I'm not critical for opting out.
Missed
but you'd be talking about 2 years of not playing for your team, and like from a business side, they should cut him. It sucks, but they should. This is why the NFLPA had to be careful. It sounds great to not have your players go there, but in the current language that they all agreed to, the teams are not liable on an injury outside the facility like that.
Man, I'd be like getting on a plane, pretending like I was fine, getting in the facility, and then be like, oh, God, I fell. Someone please pay me my $10 million. Next up on What's Trending, really important. I have new jingles for you today.
Oh, boy.
I know that you were disappointed in what I brought to the table yesterday. Certain loves them. I have at least one fan of my jingle work. But coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, I have at least three new jingles for you today. Not raps, jingles. I'm in the jingle game for a minute. I do have a new rap planned because somebody in the 610, the Cody and Gold Garage Sale, won an opportunity to be a cameo with me. So, like, you know, I got to work on a new rap here soon so that guy can get his money's worth. But currently, I'm working on my jingle game. I've got three new ones for you for 1-800-GOT-JUNK coming up in the 1 o'clock hour.
Oh, boy.
You can decide which one you like better.
The ones from are they better than yesterday's?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think they're different.
Okay.
different. Right. That so might mean better.
I can't wait to hear those. Lastly, on what's trending, a little update on former Kansas basketball player Silvio DeSosa. A Douglas County District Court judge has now ordered him to stand trial in an aggravated battery case. He's accused of hitting a man who then later lost vision in his eye. So Silvio DeSosa is actually trying, you know, to go through the NBA stuff right now and work to getting drafted potentially or having a career there. Meanwhile, now he's, of course, got this going on as well, the former Kansas basketball player. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. And if you are the fifth caller right now to 913-576-7610, you'll have a chance to win a $30 Kansas Lottery Sweet Escape prize pack and qualify for your own sweet staycation with an evening stay over at Hotel Indigo Kansas City downtown, including dinner for two and a pair of tickets to catch our boys in blue take on Boston on June the 20th. You can listen to our show throughout the month around 12:05, 12:10, a little late today after our interview there with Noah Gray, but be the fifth caller to 913-576-7610. We'll talk some Royals with Vern here in about 15 minutes. But I think what I want to know from Vern, too, though, is the defensive struggles. Is it, hey, you know what? They're just happening at the worst possible times, and so they're extra magnified? Because it seems like when there's a defensive mistake, like last night again, it's immediately costing you a run. It seems like it's either that play just or the
no
next
hesitation.
Batter,
yeah.
Which is what happens, right? I mean, that's why it's crucial for you not to have those mistakes. But it does seem, though, every time they have one, their opponent, give them credit, their opponent is able to capitalize on it. It does seem like it comes back to bite them almost immediately.
I mean, it does. Yes, it's not like it seems like it does. It does. Last night, that, and it wasn't, you know, error is pretty strong. That is not an easy play by Nicky Lopez. But there are a couple of different ways you can field that ball. You can backhand pick it like he tried. You can also circle behind the ball and keep it in front of you. And then if you don't field it, it takes a bad hop. Ideally, it's in front of you. One run scores, not two, and then you've then again given yourself another opportunity to get out of the jam, still holding the lead. I don't blame Nicky for trying a backhand pick. He's a very good defensive player. I understand why he thought he could make that play. He didn't. The problems are the defense and the bullpen now, which has went from strength to concern seemingly very quickly, are opportunistic in their failures, unfortunately. Like, for the one time Stalmont's not going to be good, it's got to be in a close game with Cleveland, right? The first time he wasn't good all year, 3-3 game, the game's tied 4-3, right? And then he gets knocked around the park a little bit. Junis, a couple days ago, the first time he wasn't good in the entire year after he came in behind Daniel Lynch. That was his worst time of the year. Barlow gave up that wild pitch and scored some. Like, it just seems like right now they feel worse than they are because all their mistakes are at the worst moments. That is what has led to losing 5 of 7. It doesn't make me panicked. I'm not like, oh God, are any of these things fixable? It just makes me frustrated.
I mean, some of it has been just a little bit of regression naturally. This team wasn't going to win 100 plus games this year. Now they're still on pace for, I think, 92 wins, right? I don't think they're winning 92 either, but doesn't mean that this team isn't going to be competitive all season long. That hasn't changed. I just don't think when you have still a lack of Adalberto Mondesi being available, and hopefully he's able to go on this rehab assignment next week. I know that's what Dade Moore is hoping for. That oblique cannot heal soon enough. And I think last night was just another example of that. His glove, we'll see what the bat brings in the lineup, but that glove badly is needed once again in the field for the Royals. And it just gets highlighted every single game here recently when the team's not playing as well. They're 500 in their last 10 games. But this week and this month, as you called it, you know, it's what, moving month for the Royals because of all the divisional opponents. And it is just three games, and it's May the 5th. We've got a long month to go. But yeah, I mean, there's extra emphasis now on these mistakes happening when they're happening. And so hopefully Mondesi is able to get back out on a rehab assignment next week because they really, really need his glove once again on the field.
They just need to be, and the offense actually hasn't been the problem over this last little rough stretch. They've been okay. I'm not saying they're like world beaters. They haven't won them games either, which I would say is part of the issue, right? They haven't won them those problems. But it does continue to frustrate that, like, those little things, those are the things the Royals didn't lose on before. Like, that's how they won games. Like, when they've been good in years past, that's where they win. They don't cost you on defense, but they do have a limit defensively. I don't think they can be a top five defense in Major League Baseball.
They don't need to be, though.
I don't think they're positioned to be that. And that's fine. Yeah, they just need to be the top 10 defense they always are. And then not make mistakes when you know, things compound themselves. in that situation. And that's essentially where they're at. And then eventually they're going to have to take a really good, hard look at every single member of the bullpen, with the exception of maybe like four names. And yeah, they could use Zimmer back or Han, depending on when and how those guys get healthy, but that's still not happening tomorrow. But they'll have to look at some alternate options, maybe via AAA, maybe via some of the arms we haven't seen, like Jackson Coar, who was really good in a starter role. But it's, you know, they're going to have to explore some options if the bullpen continues to be the anchor it has been the last couple of weeks, although I felt better about it even just, I mean, funny enough, 2 weeks ago, I'd have said very different things about the bullpen, but things have changed. Congrats, by the way, to Derek in Kansas City, Missouri. He did win the $30 in Kansas Lottery Sweet Escape prize pack, and will be entered to win the sweet staycation for an evening stay at the Hotel Indigo.
There you go. Another chance tomorrow, right around 12:05 here on Cody and Gold. You're right, though, about what was the conversation about the bullpen a week or two ago. I think it's just a reminder for all of us. Like April was fantastic, but in a week, in 2 weeks, things change drastically. Sometimes it's because of injuries or whatever. So you're going to have some stretches where you're not going to play your best baseball. It just so happens right now the Royals are in that stretch. Hopefully they can get out of it. And they have the pitcher, other than Danny Duffy, that you won on the bump, and it's Brady Singer. Unfortunately, Shane Bieber's on the other side tonight for the Cleveland Indians.
That is hard living.
But the one thing, despite the losing streak, that I do feel really good about, if that's possible for the last three games, is that Hunter Dozier has gotten in a little bit of a groove here, to say the least, the last three or four games. And that's big for this lineup going forward. They can, you know, I think it was Dayton Moore who said it the other day about, you can have a guy or two that can carry you for a week, and in some cases a month. And so if Dozier is rolling, that allows you to make you offensively get through if some of these other guys in the order aren't hitting as well. And so like Soler last night, it was a rough night for him, but I like seeing Hunter Dozier now. It seems to, whether it's health or whatever, right? It seems like he's found a little bit of a groove.
Well, I think that would be, that's what's kind of fun about the Royals lineup in general, is there's multiple guys like that. Hunter Dozier is the kind of guy who can carry you for a few weeks. So is Soler when he gets hot. So is Witt when he gets hot. So is Mondesi when he's back in the order and he gets hot. Like, probably Santana could be tossed into that list. So I at least like that they're not beholden to one guy to carry them. But, you know, it's all the same stuff. It's, can you pitch? Like, can you pitch? Can you pitch? Can you pitch? That's the inevitable question. I was trying to look up Shane Bieber's splits against Kansas City, hoping
and
maybe it would tell a story of success.
Who's having a big night tonight, Cody?
That's not. Look, the Royals as a team have hit 237 against Bieber, which is actually not terrible, all things considered. But yeah, his ERA is still sub 3.
I mean, he's a Cy Young Award winner for a reason a year ago. Not too surprised by that.
Sub 4, 3.59 ERA. That's better than his career average, but it's no Braves. He's got a 19 earned run average against the Braves. So he's middle of the road, essentially, against Kansas City.
We'll talk some more Royals with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. What do the Royals need to do going forward, and what should that role look like for Jacob Junis? That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The grand opening of the all-new FNBO location is now open off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th in Metcalf. And while you're there, look for the Ultimate Fan Display and text in the keyword for your chance to win the Ultimate Baseball Fan Prize Pack, including four tickets to see the Boys in Blue versus the Redbirds, a mini baseball tailgate grill, and $50 gift card for tailgate supplies at your local Price Chopper, plus a $250 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors to stock up on some swag. The grand opening of the all-new FNB location is now open off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. It is that time of the week where we check in with our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. Of course, Fern's On Deck show tonight at 6 o'clock gets you set for Royals Indians singer on the bump tonight. Vern, good to have you on again, man. How did you view the chaos, the unknown last night with the umpires apparently just guessing at calls?
Yeah, I mean... In the moment, I was very confused. But post-game, I wasn't confused. Umpires normally double down on what they did. You're not going to get any sort of an apology or my bad. It's, no, we did the thing that was right. We study this. We work hard. To me, he's got to run, right? Run. Get out there. You don't squint. Let me see what's going on. No, you're the umpire. Run in the outfield, find out what's going on. I was disappointed, but the thing is really didn't talk about it much on the postgame show because that run that Benintendi could have scored on what could have been a double for Salvador Perez still would not have made a real dent right on the final score, as you know, a walk and a wild pitch here and a misplay once again defensively comes back to bite him.
Yeah, Vern, we talk a lot about like coming up in those big moments, and Ned Yost would talk about how he'd hit Escobar early in his career in big moments so that eventually he could get that big hit. This team seems to have the anti that in the very early going, and it is early going, admittedly, but it's like right when they need to make the good defensive player, right when they need the bullpen guy who has been steady to then be steady and to help get someone out of the jam. They seem like they come up short in those moments a lot over the last few weeks. Are we starting to notice a troubling trend?
I don't know if they're big moments. I think they're just mistakes, and this team's not getting enough out of their rotation right now. They have an overworked bullpen, a lesser than bullpen than what they started the season with. And, you know, let's be honest, I like a lot of the guys in the Royals lineup. Like a lot of the guys in the Royals rotation, but none of them are superstars, right? We're not Royals aren't trotting on a lineup that can compete with the names in the Dodgers lineup or the Braves lineup or the Angels lineup. You understand what I'm saying? So this is always going to be the kind of team that needs to make all of the routine plays because, you know, we could point towards the ones that they don't make. But over the past few nights, I mean, Whit Merrifield saved a run two nights ago. Nicky Lopez saved a run two nights ago. I thought Hanser Alberto made a very nice play defensively. Nicky Lopez started a very nice double play last night defensively. But we, of course, focus on the one play that they don't make, and that's just how it's going to be. This team must throw strikes. They must advance runners. They got to do the little things because that's who the Kansas City Royals more than likely – are always going to be unless Lynch, Singer, Keller, Ace Lacy turns them into the 90s Braves again.
Which, I mean, I'd like. That sounds nice in general.
Cool. What sounds, would that be?
Look, I'm not. Don't get me wrong. That sounds nice. And, you know, I think that.
Yeah, what sounds better? Having to do everything well or just going out there horse after horse after horse?
I think that, and they've, you know, honestly, I know Keller has been disappointing, but I mean, how am I supposed to complain about what the rest of the rotation has given me to this stage?
Minor is, I mean, give me six.
Yeah.
He did it his first time out, hasn't done it since. He knows why he was brought here. You couldn't say the name Mike Minor around the Royals spring training facility. You couldn't say the name Mike Minor around a Royals personnel without them bringing up innings. And he can be a horse. Now, Brad Keller, same thing. Sure, Brad Keller needs to pick it up as well. But in the last seven games, you've had one starter finish six innings. That was Danny Duffy on Saturday. That can't continue, especially when Kyle Zimmer, Jesse Hahn are both on the IL.
We're talking to Vern, our Royals insider. I had a chance to talk to you about Daniel Lynch and what you thought of his debut. I caught a little bit of your post-game show that night, and unfortunately, because of everything else that took place in the game, right, it was, you know, Daniel Lynch wasn't the huge story. What did you make of what he brought to the table? Clearly, he had some nerves out there, which is to be understood.
Yeah, I thought his final line was indicative of the kind of stuff that he had. 4 2/3, 3 runs, fine for a debut. I loved what he said after the game. I'm not going to nitpick my big league debut. I'm going to be happy that I had a big league debut. But early on, you know, I had a tough time finding the slider, and then his command of his fastball started to go a little bit later on in the game. But he showed me a lot. I mean, when you got a man on third after a balk, why you have no idea why you just balked or how you just balked. Nonetheless, there's a man on third and only one out. He was able to get out of that. He had challenges in the first, in the second, a leadoff walk in the third, another man in scoring position that didn't score in the fourth. So the mentality that it takes to pitch in the big leagues, he showed a little bit of that. So, man, 7 innings of shutout baseball. I've seen Eric Skoglund do that in his big league debut. So you know what? Maybe that doesn't mean as much. Show me that you can fight through adversity, because I know that's coming for a guy like Daniel Lynch, and he passed that test in his debut.
When you look at where, and like we went over the decision to move Jacob Junis to the bullpen and why Daniel Lynch, and obviously we all think it's for the same reasons why they made those decisions. They thought they were making both the bullpen better and the starting rotation better. And they know they're going to have to cover a lot of innings over the course of the season. And Jacob Junis pitched less than 25 innings just last year. But Vern, where's the right spot in the bullpen for Junis? Because my problem is, if you put him in the long relief so that you've got him built up an inning so he can slide back into a starter role more easily, you're not using him in high leverage, which I think he might be good at. But if you use him in high leverage, 1 inning at a time, if he has to go back into the rotation, now you go do the build-up process again. What's the right spot for him?
Right spot, the spot he needs to fill, whether it's right or not, this team needs him to be Kyle Zimmer, a guy that can go multiple innings, leverage innings. You know, give me the sixth and the seventh of a tie game when it's only you and Staumont left in the bullpen. Look, Scott Barlow's the fireman, right? Josh Staumont's the closer. You need Jacob Junis to be that in between. He's not necessarily a fireman. He's not a long guy. He's a guy that comes in pressurized situations and gives you 5 or 6 out to that bullpen. To me, he needs to be the number three in that bullpen behind Staumont and Barlow. Brents has been doing well in his role, so that gives you at least 4 deep in that bullpen. But after that, Greg Holland makes me nervous. Wade Davis, you wonder how much longer he has. You know, Jake Newberry, it's been real. I'm all set on that. And then Chris Bubich and Irvin Santana, we'll see how that plays out moving forward. I'm interested to see Chris Bubich in that bullpen. And speaking of him, you know, Jackson Kowar, nice little debut last night as a starter. Wouldn't mind seeing him in the bullpen maybe later on in the season, and then we can talk about Asa Lacy as we get towards August and September.
How long till they dip their toe in the AAA waters? Carlos Hernandez, Jackson Kowar, somebody out of the bullpen.
Well, I think a lot of that comes down to Junis doing what I think we all not just expected him to be able to do, but almost assumed he was going to do. Cody, I'm pretty sure you're with me on that. Junis was, even before the cutter, Junis was going to be a fantastic reliever. So I'm still a believer that Jacob Junis is going to be a fantastic reliever. So Kowar and the young arms coming up, unless there's another injury, I don't think that's anytime soon, because we're hopefully going to see Jesse Hahn go on a rehab assignment next week, get him back. I think he makes it a big five in that Royals bullpen, and you know we'll see with Kyle Zimmer. So I think at least another month before they take guys out of the AAA rotation and put them in the bullpen.
Vern, I know they have some time still to figure out ultimately what the roster would look like when the day comes that Adalberto Mondesi is available. We heard from Dayton, it sounds like, what, next week maybe a rehab assignment. What tells you right now with what you've seen out there, what's your gut tell you about how they would pursue that potentially down the road if Mondesi is ready to go and what that would mean for what they have out on the big league roster right now?
Well, think about what we're talking about. It's all about the defense and them not making the sometimes the routine play. So let's look at it. What are the most important defensive positions on the field? Catcher, center field, shortstop, and second base. When Mondesi returns, you have a chance to bring in a great shortstop and a great second baseman. Moving Nicky Lopez over to second base, having Adalberto Mondesi at shortstop, suddenly you've improved half of the four biggest positions on the field, and you bump Whit Merrifield out to right field. That's to me the currently, and we'll see how it all plays out, and if Nicky keeps it up at the plate. But currently, that to me is a no brainer. If you can improve the middle of your diamond like that,
Vern, people are like batting average watching Nicky way too much, right? He's getting on base a ton. Like,
how much longer is it going to be before people start bailing on batting average?
I mean, I've bailed.
I thought it was.
I'm out.
I thought I was late to the party. But now, man, we've got a lot of people out there still dragging their feet.
I mean, it doesn't like it. Like, oh, Nicky's hitting 239. Is he getting on base at 360? I'll take that
from the nine spot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what are we talking?
Walks left and right. And look, I don't know if he's going to keep it up but for the time being, Nicky Lopez's bat has nothing to do with why this team has lost 12 of 27 or 28 this season. They sit atop the division in large part because the bottom of the lineup picked up the middle of the lineup for a majority of those first 20 games.
What was your reaction when Eske signed yesterday?
I wondered what was going on in the minor league. Somebody had to be hurt because there's no way this has anything to do with the big league club. I got nothing bad to say about Alcides Escobar. It was always nice being around him, but I do not believe he is a big leaguer anymore.
I was starting to like talk. I was like conspiracy theory. I was down the rabbit hunt. I'm like, what's going on, Vern? I was like,
because I feel know like what I... else I did. I'll be honest. I also went to his baseball reference page. I was like, hey, has he not gotten 10 years yet? Is he like a few days away from 10 years and Dayton Moore is just continuing to be one of the greatest men on the planet and making sure this guy gets his 10 years in the big leagues? But no, he's got 11, I believe. Huh. So he's all set on that. So, yeah, it's depth for the minor league. Is, you know, we saw Nicky Lopez crashing into a umpire yesterday and get up a little slowly. Lucius Fox down in Omaha is dealing with a little bit of a hamstring, so... you throw Alcides Escobar in there and let him continue to follow his dream.
The thing I like about Escobar is that the guy just doesn't want to do anything but play baseball. Like, I can
you
always
just respect it.
Yeah, and that's good for AAA-ers to be around. Like, that's good to
and
see other guys.
It shouldn't be surprising. This is a guy that's, you know, played every single day of every single game. He gets spiked by Brett Lowry. You think his leg snapped in half and he's in the starting lineup the very next day. I remember Ned Yost used to say he has shark bones. And apparently shark bones are impossible to break. I don't know. That's Ned. Cody, you can tell them all about Ned if they forgot.
Yeah. In case, you know, there are, you know, some, again, there are always, anytime the Royals get good again, there's going to be a few new fans in the mix, which we welcome. They just got to know about what the times were like before. Speaking with our Royals.
If you are new, just keep your mouth shut for a little while. Be seen, not heard. See what's going on. Follow the lead of the people like Cody and Alex that have been following the Royals for two, three decades now.
I was saying that about, like, I think people tend to go negative on the Royals a lot quicker than they ever went negative on the Chiefs.
Sure.
And I think a lot of it, Vern, is because, like, I'm 36 years old. I spent 4 years, 13, 14, 15, 16, where the team was good and competitive. There was one magical year in 2003 that, despite Jose Lima leading the rotation with like a 4.8 ERA, nice, they were good enough to be in the 80 win market. And other than that, there was a lot of disappointment. It's sometimes still hard to erase disappointment.
It's well-earned skepticism. But what I have enjoyed about the first 20-some-odd games of the season is the fans that got on my nerves in 14 and 15 because they had never been around a winner and didn't understand at times the intricacies of the game. That 2014-15 team was like a master's class of the little things and how to win a Major League Baseball game and what it takes in October. So we have some like doctorates when it comes to baseball now. And to be honest with you, Cody, this might come as a shock, but the callers on the postgame show have been very mild-mannered and even-keeled
nice.
And well-thought-out. It's been
it's May 5th, Fern.
Shocking and fun.
It's just May 5th. I want to ask you, May 5th, I'm going to ask.
May 5th, and they're on pace for 92 wins. I think I'll live.
I want to ask Vern in June or July that exact sentence if he'll say the same thing.
It'll depend a lot on their record, probably.
Good point.
Maybe so. Are you you got till 6 till you're on the air. Are you taking part in Cinco de Mayo today?
No.
Really?
I mean, I'll have tacos, but I...
No margs? Nothing, huh?
No. I don't believe so.
Daytime margarita on day game.
Three or four Why not? Tacos. I know that. Why am I not drinking?
Yeah.
Because if I drink in the afternoon and don't go all in, that headache at night's going to be rough. I can't start and then stop. If I start, I'm ending up with my shirt off.
That's Vern, our Royals insider, Josh Vernier. He's got his on-deck show tonight. At 6 o'clock, he joins us each and every Wednesday at 12:30. Let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
The random question of the day brought to you by the Window Source of Kansas City over in the J. Southland Toast Service text line, 913-576-7610. Did you have something to add before?
No, the text line just says sharks don't have bones. Just saying.
Oh, okay. let's not get particular about a netism here. Let's not go into that. You mentioned it's Cinco de Mayo. I have a question for you. How often do you partake in the Cinco de Mayo festivities? That's the question I have for you now today, 913-576-7610. For you, Gold, for you, Serta. Like, do you ever go out of your way to, like, you know, be like, you know what, I like Mexican food anyway. I'm going to hit up the joint, get a frozen margarita, call myself a day. I feel like I actively avoid it on this day because I eat Mexican food enough. There's no reason to, like, pigeonhole it into Cinco de Mayo.
I mean, I'm with you on, Mexican food's fantastic. I saw a Facebook memory like popped up or whatever 2 years ago, Cinco de Mayo, and apparently I took a photo from some patio having margaritas.
Today, you were guilty of it.
So I've done that. I think it was a Saturday that year though, so that's a little bit different. See, it's a weeknight, so no, like you could have gone last night, you could go tomorrow, but you want to be like people want to be part of the day. Like that's what.
Why get off at noon tomorrow?
Doing $5 flash tickets for a reason for Cinco de Mayo. They're doing like the appetizer half price stuff at the K tonight for the first hour or whatever before the game starts. So. You just want to be part of it. But yeah, you can have margaritas whenever. I might make a margarita tonight. I don't know. Probably not going to a restaurant, though. Not tonight.
You have your little drink works machine, right? Does it have margaritas?
I can make a margarita from that, yeah.
How about you, sir? Do you go out on Cinco de Mayo ever?
No.
Serta hates it.
I hate it. Serta hates Cinco de Mayo.
Oh,
do
he does.
Do you all, like, amateur drinking days? Like, how are you about New Year's Eve or St. Patrick's Day? Or
I mean, they're fine. I think there's fun things to do on those. Cinco de Mayo is not the same thing as St. Patrick's Day, in my opinion. Cinco de Mayo is just an excuse for people to get hammered on a weekday and go to a Mexican restaurant. And as somebody who worked at a Mexican restaurant for several years, I absolutely despise Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, see, this is like boring. It'd be like if you worked at an Irish pub, you'd be like, St. Patrick's Day. I worked at a nice restaurant. That was New Year's Eve.
For being
nice
real,
restaurants always do thing on New Year's Eve.
It's just an excuse for white people to get drunk on a Wednesday.
I did once. I got asked once if I'd work a wedding on a New Year's Eve. Like, they bought out the whole restaurant on New Year's Eve. I'm like, hell no. Like, and I didn't work at that place much at that time. They're closed now, Webster House. But it's like, I used to make good money on New Year's Eve. I'd occasionally work there even when I was in radio. You want me to work a wedding where they're going to do a midnight champagne toast? Pass. I'm not doing that.
Fajitas sound fantastic.
Maybe you can go
incredible,
back to your
right?
Fajita Pete's place.
Go to Fajita Pete's and get some fajitas. They got margaritas
free
there.
For
take
a few
that
places.
Home. You know, yeah.
You could, like you said, you can make the margarita at home. You can kind of complete that. If I want tacos tonight or whatever, I'll just order them.
You can't go wrong with
it's
tacos.
It's too busy. I'm also not there yet emotionally. From like, have you started like going back into the world post like getting your vaccine? And you're like, I'm not used to being around people anymore.
I mean,
it's been a whole year of not being around. I mean, in a restaurant's different than in a stadium, I guess.
I was like, right? I've been to 4 Royals games. I've the last 2 weeks, so I've been in restaurants. I've ate inside restaurants.
We were at Kelly's last week.
Yeah, we did that. But I'm talking about like even sit down, like restaurant. Yeah. I've done it. Yeah. By the way, no longer is the record perfect for the show at Kauffman Stadium.
3-1.
Three and one.
I did have tacos yesterday. I had fish tacos yesterday.
I like a good fish. I usually get fish tacos out of town, though, the problem, you know?
Oh, yeah, you mean near the water?
The ones that I got weren't that great. All right.
Usually it's, when I'm near a fresh, the ocean.
Whenever you go down to the Lake of the Ozarks, nothing like some of that fresh fish down at the Lake of the Ozarks.
Look, you can get good fish tacos here in Kansas City.
I know. That's the random question of the day. So what's up with Rodgers? We talked earlier in the show that this thing's not ending anytime soon, and Diana Rossini of ESPN mentioned that the Broncos are still in the mix there, but what was it that was said about Rodgers in the AFC West? I assume that as a Chiefs fan, look, you'll still like the Chiefs' chances, but things get drastically tougher if Aaron Rodgers is suddenly in the AFC West and the quarterback for the Denver Broncos.
Well, here's the problem, is that it's I understand why you'd be looking for a new home. I would understand why you'd be looking for a fit for their new home, and certainly the Broncos have done whatever they could to do it. It's the way Rich Eisen makes it sound like that I'm gonna warn Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play this, just a little bit from might want to dial this back a little.
Over his career endgame and not being told by Green Bay when it's over, but him saying he knows when it's over in Green Bay, he'll force it. If he wants to go to a new spot, he'll force it right now. And I heard he would happily go to Denver because they've got the weapons, they've got the spot. He doesn't care that it's in Mahomes' division. He would actually love to personally beat Mahomes. He would love to send Mahomes to the wild card every single year. This is what I've been told.
Wow. He would like to personally send Patrick Mahomes to the wild card every year. Does he know his coach is Vic Fangio? And that having a good coach might matter in the NFL? He should damn sure know that by now. Having McCarthy rot away part of his career. That's an awfully bold prediction. He'd love to send Patrick Mahomes. I get it, man. Top quarterbacks want to be the top quarterbacks.
Mahomes would have the same attitude towards Rodgers if he was joining Rodgers' division or whatever. Like, so that I'm not surprised necessarily with the comment, but that is okay. That's where when we talk about, to Serta's point a little bit, I told you I disagree on like, oh, it'd be a lot of fun. But to Serta's point, it would make the competitiveness of Mahomes, which is there as we all know, it would raise the bar on that even for Mahomes, just in terms of that, knowing that suddenly the reigning MVP is in your division in that case.
Well, and think so little of you that he would come to your division, one that you've owned
Mahomes
takes everything. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, absolutely takes things that way.
I hope someone's played him that cut. I hope he's been told about that exact cut we just played.
Well, if Aaron Rodgers ends up in the division, I definitively hope. I'll ask him about it in a press conference. Like, hey, there was a quote from Rich Eisen where, he said he'd be happy to send you the wild card. How do you feel about that, Patrick? I don't care what his answer is. I just want to make sure he knows about it. That when those divisional games come around,
that stuff gets back to him so quick, that kind of stuff.
I mean, always somebody. He's not social enough. I don't know that he would have missed it even.
Fair. No, he knows. He'll find out one way or the other.
I know that this is one of those like moments of honesty things. Aaron Rodgers probably actually believes that. If Aaron Rodgers leaked that to Rich Eisen or leaked it through somebody, through his agent, that he'd be happy to send, he probably actually believes that. And I wouldn't blame him for thinking that. He'd go down as one of the probably 10 best quarterbacks to ever play the game. Some people won't put him in that list unless he wins another Super Bowl. But most people, talent-wise, will tell you he's one of the 10 best quarterbacks.
He's a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
Yes. So you feel that way about a guy who's only been in the league a couple of years in Patrick Mahomes, but does have a Super Bowl trophy and has been to 2 Super Bowls, so, as many as
And everything you just said about Rodgers is true, but also, Rodgers hasn't faced Mahomes yet. So it's easy to say that.
The guy you haven't, and you don't really, I know, I get it. They don't play each other technically.
But that's how we do, that's how it all
but
works.
But that's how it works with specifically Brady
Mahomes. It wasn't Mahomes versus
It's not
Shaq
Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. It's just specifically quarterbacks. Because in the end, as much as we joke about the quarterback win stat, that's the thing that goes down on the record. It's like quarterback wins. Tom Brady beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. No, he didn't. Patrick Mahomes' offensive line got beat in the Super Bowl, and they then lost. But that's the way we'll look at it in the final record of things.
Last minute.
You're very froggy today. Are you okay?
Yes.
Worried about
it. Well, I just want to keep talking about Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Listening.
Because according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN, the Packers are now upset and filing a complaint with the league office insisting that the 49ers and Broncos are tampering with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because they haven't given Aaron Rodgers the clear to seek a trade.
What are they going to do? Take away Trey Lance?
This is the best case. I mean, this would be incredible. Rodgers stays in Green Bay, and the Broncos, because of their flirtation, they end up losing a pick out of it. That would be terrific.
I guess in a way that is tampering.
Yeah, because they haven't given him permission to seek a trade. So any conversations that clearly have been going on, not just between the teams, you know, Rodgers' agent and stuff has talked. Interesting if the league will actually lay the hammer down or not. But that would be a funny side effect.
I kind of hope, like, sometimes it's like I'm torn because, like, I root for teams to get punished like that. But then I go back to, like, when the Chiefs, like, tampered with Jeremy Maclin and cost him a pick. And you're like,
but that's why I wanted their teams to get nailed, because the Chiefs got screwed on that whole Maclin tampering thing. Because that's what essentially everybody does, the same thing they did. They just got busted for it. So now I don't feel sorry for any team that gets nailed for tampering. We had to suffer. Let them all suffer. When it comes to sports, that's my philosophy.
Dude, it's super easy to get busted for tampering. That's why, like, Andy be like, well, I can't really talk about Alex Smith because he's on another team. Yeah. But let me tell you about how he was a good person when he was here. Like, kind of. Like, you got to be really careful about talking about them coming to your stadium versus just talking about the type of player they are. So it is a thin line to not get busted for tampering. Who filed that? Was it Gutekunst?
Gutekunst?
The Packers. I mean, the Packers. Specifically who?
He just seems like kind of a jerk. He seems like he's real sour about how he's being portrayed here.
Oh, he knows his job's on the line. You don't want to be the guy that's known for trading Aaron Rodgers. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Especially because you just got the GM gig a couple of years ago.
You don't want that on your resume. Definitely do not. Hey, coming up next, we get to the 1 o'clock hour. Cody's got some more jingles for us next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.